In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst. Our Lord said many things. Our Lord performed many miracles, many actions, many parables. Even in just 3 years of his ministry. But he left us no writings, no doctrinal statements in writing. He left us a simple message. And it was displayed in both his words and his deeds. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. We've heard this many times. We know this as the golden rule in today's terminology. But this is indeed the new way of life that our Lord gave to us. And in the gospel message that we just heard, this very short message from Luke, it succinctly expresses the essence of the faith, of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the teaching of our church. Do unto others as you would wish them to do unto you, or return like for like. Do the right thing. And important as this universal ethical principle is, it guides us in fulfilling all of our needs and our desires. It helps to work through the conflicts in life. Christian morality goes even deeper than this. It's not merely a principle of fairness, of being fair. And we hear this all the time, especially in today's times, being fair. But it's much more than that. It's outgoing, sacrificial love. We know this as agape love. Love that comes from our union and communion with Jesus Christ. Baptized, chrismated Christians living in this communion. Living by the power of God's grace in our life. This is a life that's lived in agape love. Our love for God, because He first loved us, and our love for our neighbor. Right before we recite the confession of our faith, the creed, and in a few moments, you hear the deacon say, "Let us love one another, that with one mind we may confess." Let us love one another, that with one mind we may confess. How do we do this? How can we, or rather, how should we collectively confess our faith if we don't do so with love for one another? This is the basis. This is the foundation of a Christian community, is expressing our faith with love for one another. It doesn't mean that we always get along. It doesn't mean that we always see eye to eye as we hear. There will be disagreements. But we do so with this agape love. We do our best to follow this example, this powerful principle in our lives. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So how do we love our enemy? How do we love those who are our enemies, who are, or we may perceive, are against us, disagree with us, want to harm us? It isn't just a matter of thinking kind of nice thoughts towards them or ignoring them. We indeed need the love of Jesus Christ to change our heart. So the first step is us. Not them, it's us. Change our heart, to put the kind of heart in us toward our enemies that was in God when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. to redeem and forgive the world. A world that was full of people who hated him, who wanted to and ultimately crucified him. But God blessed them. That was his response. He blessed them. He doesn't give up on them, and he didn't give up on them, and he doesn't give up on us. He has a heart of love toward the loveless. And that is what we need. That is what we need as we think about this gospel passage today. As we come in contact with those who we may perceive as our enemies. And we have plenty of examples from our Lord to follow. Father Conieris of blessed memory, who I refer to many times and quote from many often, in one of his books, Gems from the Sunday Gospels, he writes, "Love your enemies. The man who makes your misery his policy, who dogs your steps, who sets snares for your feet, who twists your words, who is always pointing out the fly in the ointment, and who is never happier than when he is slowly dropping bitterness into your cup, your enemy, love him. Love him for my sake," says Jesus. "Love him even as I have loved you. But love him also, because your enemy is first of all an enemy to himself. The bitterness that he drops into your cup has first of all poisoned his own cup. Forget the superficial injury he inflicts on you and think of the fatal injury he is inflicting upon himself. On your part, he creates bitterness. On his part, he commits suicide. The justice we seek, in some sense, has already been carried out. The great Russian priest, Father John of Kronstadt, writes in his book, The Life of Christ, "Every person that does any evil, that gratifies any passion, is sufficiently punished by the evil he has committed, by the passions he serves, but chiefly by the fact that he withdraws himself from God, and God withdraws himself from him. It would therefore be insane and most inhuman to nourish anger against such a person. It would be the same as to drown a sinking man or to push into the fire a person who is already devoured by the flame. To such a man as to one in danger of perishing, we must show double love and pray fervently to God for him, not judging him, not rejoicing in his misfortune. For my sake, says Jesus, but for their sakes too. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you." Very profound words from Father John, St. John of Kronstadt. And again, Father Conieris, in one of his sermons, asks this question. Why? Why must I love my enemy? First of all, he answers, "My enemy more than anything else needs love." They need love. Second, love is the only force capable of transforming my enemy into my friend. Third, returning hate for hate only multiplies hate. Love is the only thing that can break this vicious circle. Finally, we love our enemies because Jesus said that if we do, our reward will be great and we will become sons of Most High. You see, our Heavenly Father desires us to be like Him. Recall that shortly before he died, our Lord Jesus told his disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." And then when he was on the cross, He prayed, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. How can we be like God? How can we be like Him if we don't practice, if we don't express this very same being, this very same love that He had for sinners who betrayed Himself, who betrayed Him and crucified Him? How can we? So how do we do it? How do we love our enemies? I don't think we wait for emotions of love, but we start with actions of love. The emotions may follow later. We need to start with our actions. We start with what our Lord taught us right here in this gospel. Do good. When you find a way that you can do something good for one of your enemies, do it. Not so much to shame the person, but to show them something that they may never have seen or felt or experienced ever in their life. Kindness. You've heard this before. You can kill them with kindness, so to speak. You love them. You show them kindness. Bless. Bless them. Go out of your way actively to speak well of your enemies. Imagine that. Especially in this day and age, in this time right now. Speak well of them. Don't shame them, but find it in your heart to love them. And then finally, pray for them. Pray for them. It may seem very trivial, but it's not. Pray for them. Bring their name to your memory all the time. Actively, for those who love us and those who hate us, we say as we come forward and bow before you as clergy. Not just for those who love us and agree with us, but for those who love us and those who hate us. May the Lord God forgive us all. Ask God to bless them and to show mercy on them. Because in order to, when you do so, to find in your heart, to find in your heart the ability to love them. And if you'll do good when you find opportunities and bless them when you think of them and pray and intercede earnestly before our Lord, you'll find that God will put love in your heart. He will soften your heart for your enemies. St. Paul writes in his letter to Titus, "To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupt. That is, the pure in heart project from inside themselves purity. They are so filled with God, they bless those who curse them and do good to those who seek to despitefully use them, just as Jesus did. They notice the sufferings of people, but they don't judge them, knowing that if they act out in unfortunate ways, it is because of their suffering, because of their fear, because of their ignorance. The saints pray for the healing of us sinners and their enlightenment so that the suffering that causes unhealthy actions and unhealthy thoughts may cease." Another quote from St. Maximus the Confessor, "The one who is perfect in love and has reached the summit of detachment knows no distinction between one's own and another's, between faithful and unfaithful, between slave and free man, or indeed between male and female. But having risen above the tyranny of the passions and looking to the one nature of men, he regards all equally and is equally disposed toward all. For in him there is neither Greek nor Jew, neither male nor female, neither slave nor free, but Christ is everything and in everything." What a beautiful quote, beautiful words for us to remember. So what are we doing? Are our lives governed by these These words were something else. We are called to rise above what may be considered typical human behavior. We are not called to be just good enough. We are called to a higher standard as Christians. A higher standard. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is a higher standard, and we are called to it. Anything in our thoughts and our behavior that does not reflect this and does not reflect the love of God is to be discarded or repented of. Let me conclude with the story that Father Conieres points out in his book. A man once bought a farm and was walking the bounds of his new property when he met his next door neighbor. "Don't look now," said the neighbor, "but when you bought this piece of ground, you also bought a lawsuit with me. Your fence is 10 feet over on my land." Now this is a classic opening for a feud that could go on for months or years or even centuries and even generations to create enemies. But the new owner smiled and said, "I thought I'd find some friendly neighbors here. And I'm sure that I will. And you're going to help me. Move the fence where you want it and send me the bill. You'll be satisfied and I'll be happy too." Well, the fence was never moved and the potential enemy was never the same again. He became a friendly neighbor. You see, love quenched the fire of hatred. The real test of love is not whether we love our friends, but whether we love our enemies. This is the deeper meaning of the golden rule. This is the deeper meaning of this gospel passage. And this is our challenge: to love one another, to be merciful to one another, just as our Father also is merciful to us. Amen.